The second reading brings a very simple but very important reminder that will help us to listen with a right disposition to the word that we just heard and to enter into these reflections. And Paul said that the word that we hear is not just a human word, not because human words are bad, but because what is happening here is much more than that. What we have heard is God's word said in a real way for us again today. And because it's not just a human word, but God's word, it's a word that is at work in us, a word that is effective, a word that has a possibility, as long as we're open, to do something in our lives, to touch something, to transform something. And this word brings today a paradox. Paradox means something that really sounds like a contradiction, but it's not really a contradiction. But it does sound strange to hear that if we humble ourselves, we'll be exalted. But if we exalt ourselves, then we'll be humbled. What does that mean? How does that work? Or in the psalm, that very beautiful poem, we heard that we will find our peace in God, but for that we don't need to busy ourselves with great desires. And what does that mean? Does that mean that we cannot have great desires? Aren't we supposed to desire heaven, holiness? It could be felt even as if God was inviting us to do that which sadly we do so often. To kind of reduce our expectations so that we won't be frustrated. But of course, God is not doing that. So the key to understand this mystery, this paradox, is not in not having desires, which is obviously impossible for a human being, but rather in learning what to desire. If you will, in training our hearts so that we can know what to desire. So according to the psalm that we chanted, what is too much? What is too sublime for us? We can follow a very simple rule. If we look actively for human glory, so if we do things so that we can receive some kind of applause or recognition, if that's our motivation, then we will never be satisfied. We will always be more or less frustrated because we will never get exactly and at all times what we feel that we deserve or need. There's a saint from the 6th century, Martin of Braga, who used a very clear image to describe this. He said that glory is like the human shadow. If you follow it, it runs away. If you run away, then it follows. And that's really, in the end, what Jesus said. He said, trust and serve and be humble, and everything else will come because you're searching Christ, God, the kingdom. We could add, then when we work, when we do something, when we're trying to do something good, let's not look for recognition. Let's not look for applause or for glory. Let's not spoil the reward that only God can give. Now, very clearly, to even think about this and even more, to try to put it into practice, we need faith. Because this requires believing and trusting in that which we cannot see, in that which we cannot feel. Of course, it's easier for us to enjoy the few minutes of good sentiments that come when we receive a good word. And certainly, it's not that receiving a good word or offering a word of recognition is bad. No, that's great when it happens. But it should not be the motivation for what we do. That was a main problem of the Pharisees. It's very clear in the Gospel. Jesus said, they perform all their works in order to be seen. And that's wrong. Now, if one day someone says something good, well, with humility we can rejoice. But we cannot spoil that reward that only God can give. It is better, wiser, to hope in a reward that will actually last forever. And when we learn how to not do things because we want that glory, that human recognition, but because we want to love and we want to serve, then that peace that we heard of today in the song becomes also a reality, not just an idea, but a reality. And how beautiful it is what we heard today. We sang, in you, O God, I have found my peace. And in a few other beautiful words, like a child, I have stilled and quieted my heart. I busy not myself with things that are too sublime for me. Now, this peace is something truly great, and we should desire this peace. There are so many occasions in our daily life in which we can put this into practice. If we look for glory, it will pass. But if we run away from glory, then it will come. There are times when, in the middle of a conversation, we know that we can say something about what we just did. You know, share some of our achievements. That's a possibility. But we know also that we could say, no, I'm not going to say anything. Why don't we choose to remain silent about our own achievements and glories? Why don't we trust in God and let Him do what He wants to do? There are times when something goes wrong, and our tendency many times right away is to explain why that went wrong. But what if we say nothing to justify ourselves? There are times when we have been working hard in some project at home or at work, or maybe here at the parish or in some apostolate, and maybe we are frustrated because we don't feel that there is justice, that we get the recognition or the approval that we think we deserve. But what if we believed in what Jesus is saying, and if it doesn't happen, then rejoice because there is an eternal reward awaiting for us? And isn't there something particularly beautiful when silence and humility surround and even protect a good work? Don't we experience some very unique spiritual joy when we make a sacrifice and no one knows about it? Are in those occasions, and haven't we experienced in those occasions, a very special union with God? Because there's nothing distracting us, because people don't need to know what we're doing, because we don't need that applause or that vain glory, because we're doing it for the right reason. And isn't it true as well that it is precisely when we renounce to that we receive that which even from a human standpoint we were expecting? So let us renew our faith. Again, this demands believing in God's word, believing in that which we don't see or don't feel, but knowing that what God can give is always more beautiful and certainly will last much longer than anything, any glory, any approval we can get here on earth. It is beautiful and moving to think about the example of our Blessed Mother, Mary, who, of course, was the most important human person in a history of salvation, and Mary, of whose actual life, the events of her life, we know so little. You know, there are only a few passages in Scripture, and we know nothing really of what she did in her daily life. We don't know the great achievements of her life. And isn't there where we find that true greatness, the silence of her love, the purity of her faith? And that's a wonderful example for us. That's what we want, really. That's what we need. And in our psalm, when we prayed, in you, O Lord, I have found my peace, we prayed about the image of a little child being carried in his mother's arms. And in the arms of Mary, we can say again those beautiful words that we heard. I busy not myself with things that are too sublime for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a child. In you, Lord, I have found my peace.